I'm backing up. Back where I thought I was. I thought maybe things had changed. Shows you how blind I was. All of the ugliness, all of my memories are still in my human hands, sitting inside of me, drumming up energies and sending out goodbyes, breaking my outer shell and shaking my insides. Where will we end up?
This is CILU 102.7 FM, LURadio.ca, CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca, and CJLO 1690 AM, CJLO.com. I'm Ari, the show is past tense. I'm still here with The Painters, and Alex, those last two songs were?
The first one was Kitchen Tiles, followed by Backing Up.
And the next thing that I wanted to ask you guys about, sort of talked about this before, like foreshadowing new music. So where are things going from here? And what are you guys working on?
We recently finished tracking a new EP. There are songs that I wrote and figured out the arrangements with and production and everything with the three guys. But definitely from like a songcraft perspective, they feel more collaborative because everybody kind of helped me with some lyrics and chord structures. And we cut the songs live off the floor and did it kind of fast in a sort of reactionary way after making the record in such a laborious, overdubby kind of way. But overall, the band is evolving to be more of like a multiple songwriter project. Josh has songs, Michael's got songs, and we kind of are more interested in just getting together regularly. And if somebody has a new song that they want to learn, they'll bring the chord chart and we'll figure it out together as a band. And it still feels like there's kind of a cohesive thing going on because it's ultimately the same players, but it does feel like less boxed in, I guess, even although our record feels very quite expansive in and of its own right. It's more of it feels a lot more involved, a lot more collaborative.
What's it been like playing live shows again? And like because the last time I saw you guys was at the album release. Mm. What's it been like playing live together?
Really nice.
Beautiful.
Really fun. Yeah. Fun. Really fun. We did a show a couple of weeks ago in a living room, the second floor apartment living room, with some new friends of ours from New York City called Big French. And we were still playing full band style with amps and full kit, but it was, we were definitely singing out of practice amps and doing it a lot more kind of scrappy. It just felt like a real throwback moment where, speaking personally, I felt kind of like a renewed love and joy for performing live because it was just so fun. And it was very last minute and it felt kind of like a ramshackle, relatively low stakes experience, but I ended up feeling so surprised at how good we sounded and how much fun it was to play an entirely new set too.
And to be clear, like, we woke up that morning not knowing we were going to play, and then like we got a text saying you guys want to play tonight. So it was like, it's reflective of what we've been doing in that we've been committed to like trying to practice like once a week and just know our repertoire, like, and that was kind of an example of that paying off in the sense that we were able to just get together that day and go play. It's cool. It's been nice to, it's just like good to feel like a
old fashioned classic band.
Yeah.
Actually plays shows.
No click track, nothing.
Oh yeah. This is a special moment, Ari, because you invited us to play these tunes live in celebration of the record we most recently released.
Yeah.
We're like only playing stuff today that's, five out of the six songs are from our new record.
Yeah.
But it's possible this might be like the last time we ever play some of these tunes alive. Last time we played live, I don't think we played any of them. Okay. We're kind of like all excited about new stuff and yeah.
And what do you feel is changing with the new music that you guys are recording together or new music that you're playing?
More flanger.
We just had a stack of like 30 songs. It's more broad. It's not like a particular genre. Some songs are crazy and silly to some extent, and other songs are emotional.
Of the 30, how many do you think are bangers?
Not all of them. Maybe like half.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good ratio.
50-50, yeah.
I would say that I just think harmonically we're using more interesting ideas, and we're like way more specific about what we want in terms of rhythm and arrangement.
Yeah,
it's just more, which also just comes from the learnings we've had, I think, over the last whatever 5 years of making the first record. But yeah, harmonically it's way more interesting.
Yeah,
while still being like pop. Like, it is pop. We're trying to make pop music.
Yeah, we're really, like Michael was touching on before, we're really not coming at it from a folky perspective at all. The songs are broad in style, but there is a kind of a 2:30 pattern that I'm noticing emerge, where a lot of them are short and very concise and catchy.
Okay, cool. Bangers. As was said previously.
50%.
50%
yeah,
bangers.
Yeah. And like, we're working on it. We're trying to bring that up a bit.
Okay, cool. And do you have something to say, Josh? I feel like you're primed there.
No, I'm just holding the mic cable. It must be like an oral fixation.
Yeah,
I'm still
thinking
of cigarettes since your question like 20 minutes ago.
All right, I think let's jump into the last song here then. Josh, you know all the names here.
This next song is called Miss Mickey's Kerfuffle and Her Strange Encounter with the Other Side.
together. Look at all the times we should have known better. My mind's made up. You gave that up when you looked the other way. I have nothing more to say as I slowly disappear.
This is CILU 102.7 FM, LURadio.ca, CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca, and CJLO 1690 AM, CJLO.com. I'm Ari, the show's past tense. I'm here with the Painters. Last song was Rolling Thunder, and we're going into the last section of the interview here. And we're currently located in the studio that you guys used to record the album, to record your self-titled. And it seems like a pretty personal space. I feel like that's fair to say.
Yeah, studio is a generous name. We're in a basement that leaks water perpetually. And you can hear every toilet flush.
Okay.
A lot of critters. We caught a rat down here the other day. That's a true story. Well, I should say Alex caught it.
Yeah, I will take credit. I spearheaded the operation.
You spearheaded the rat?
Pretty much, actually.
This basement has some history.
Yeah, yeah, we'll skip that. There's some that's NSFW or whatever.
Yeah.
Like murdering rats.
No, there's some stuff that happened here before we moved in. I think that contributes to why we got the place for so cheap.
Okay.
Yeah. But we moved in here almost 10 years ago, so it is very personal to us. By we, I mean Josh and I. Alex lived here for the first 4 or 5 years. And then when Alex moved out, Michael moved in. But we've all been friends for way longer than that. So it does feel very personal to us because we've made so much music down here amongst ourselves and with others. And it's also just our home. So it really doesn't feel like there's a huge divide between the office and the home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually I wanted to go back to Michael because I remember it being mentioned before that two Alexes, Josh, you guys were here. Michael, you were far away. What was that experience like contributing to the album at a distance, at least for part of it?
Everything important for the album was finished right before I left for a while.
Okay.
And then for the two, like Rain and that, whatever the other song is called, I can't remember that one. I just didn't contribute to those ones. Those ones were finished without me. But it was like being away was fine. Like we still had to correspond and like work on the mixes and that sort of thing. But like we were on the phase where working remotely doesn't pose any, you know, there's no physical challenges anymore. It's all like thinking and, you know, the kind of work that you can do on the computer. So it was fine. It was good to be away. I like to be away. A little too much.
Okay. Do you feel that the space being so personal, do you feel like contributed to the sound of the album or like the feel of it?
Yeah, definitely, because we're so fortunate. As much as it, you know, it is a leaky, rodent infested place, it is somewhere where we can work loud, and most importantly, I would argue, we don't feel like we're on the clock.
Yeah.
Because there's no way that we would have been able to make the record the way that we did if we were anywhere but here, because it was so like we could just go down here and hammer away at one little thing for hours and hours and hours and not be feeling like we were wasting money.
Yeah.
When we took a break earlier, I think maybe Ari, you mentioned that the music we're making sounds different than other stuff that's happening in Montreal.
Yeah.
And like aesthetics aside, I feel like out of all my friends here who play music, we're one of the few people who actually have like a drum kit in their house.
Yeah.
It makes different things possible. Like lots of our friends play in bands and stuff, but they're always like trekking to get to a jam space that's shared between like 15 different people.
Yeah.
And so I think the fact that the four of us, like when we first set up shop here, we kind of made a point of saying that we weren't going to try and like have it be a place that has like a million contributors and just kind of keep it as a private studio.
Yep.
So we've really been able to get away with a lot, as Alex said. And like, despite the disadvantages of this place, I wouldn't trade having less studio access. Right now we have like kind of 24/7 access to be able to make music. I wouldn't trade that for a place that is maybe like more pro, has better gear, maybe like a hardwood floor and like a exterminator for, and you know, for a couple of days a week, less access. Cause that's what it's allowed us to sort of develop our craft.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty womb-like setup in terms of being able to just like grow and develop like...
Womb-like?
Womb-like, yeah. Uterine-esque.
Very true.
There's no windows though. It'd be nice to have a womb with a view.
Yeah.
I'll quote Joseph Campbell for that. Joseph Campbell refers to a kangaroo pouch as a womb with a view.
Oh, okay. I have something to say about the womb situation. I think the main benefit of having the basement studio is the ability to go down the wrong pathway completely, because like we're not wasting money or time if we like want to do something crazy. So like you can literally like go as insane as you want, and if nothing happens in the song related to what you do, that's fine. But then other times you go down the crazy pathway, and even if you only end up with like 10 seconds of something awesome, it's like worth it which I feel like is a rare benefit of our situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we were like paying even like any money for like access to a cheap studio or we had limited time, like some of the ideas that we tried out would get vetoed so quickly. People would be like, no, like that's so unlikely to be it that like that shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Like I remember once like when we were working on like the Rain single, Alex, you and I spent like I remember how much you humored me on this because I spent like maybe like a 10-hour session with you where you just like patiently watched me arrange like an orchestra of recorders and like with these four different sizes of like Baroque recorders to try and like create like an intro to our song. And then we finished it at the end of the day and we're like, this sucks.
Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't hard for me because it was cool. And there was one point where you were playing, you were playing two recorders at once. It was like really impressive. So as a music fan, that was like a cool moment for me. But
as long as it's fun to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great story. I didn't know that actually.
Yeah.
But it's also one of the better ones from all the silly things you've done down here, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah, Michael was out of town, so I stole his four. What is your recorders, Michael?
They're like Yamaha, like consumer level recorders, but with the official Baroque fingering, which makes them more in tune, which I warned Josh about.
But they're like, one of them's very, very big.
Yeah, an alto recorder. Or even a tenor, actually. Yeah, it's a tenor.
Okay.
Mm.
It felt like I was like a kid in gym class because my like hands were hurting. I felt like I was trying to throw a football. Like,
yeah. But maybe another thing that I'll add too is that because we're so familiar with the space vis-a-vis living here, certainly there are many idiosyncrasies about this place. A lot of people would call them imperfections, which they are. But I guess having been here for so long and gotten so used to them, they feel more like features than bugs, where we can kind of work around them. And we do know where to record vocals quietly if we need to do that, and it's not down here. I don't know. We've just gotten used to how weird this space is and how to use it, instead of feeling limited by it, more kind of feeling like we're the masters of this domain.
Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah, we have command over nature.
Yeah.
For all the like dripping pipe noises down here in the room, we're actually lucky today because there's not too much pipe action. But when it rains or when like a neighbor takes a shower, it's quite loud down here, which makes it hard to record acoustic instruments and vocals. But one of the bedrooms upstairs is converted into sort of like a pop-up vocal booth and mixing room. So aside from having to carry like preamps and stuff up and down the stairs constantly, I'm pretty happy with our setup here.
Okay. When I've done sessions before, I get the bands over to CJLO itself. And there its own quirk is that it just gets like absurdly hot. And I don't know. It's interesting to see how these things sort of play into the sound. There's always like a personal element to it. There's some physical space that has some impact on the people that are playing there. And especially being in a place that you know everything about it. You know all the quirks, you know all the weird things. And even if it's not perfect, that element of like perfect control is still there. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah. And comfort too. I haven't spent a whole lot of time recording in professional studios, but from what I can gather, a lot of musicians spend a great deal of time trying to make their pro studios feel more home-like. And I think that's just something that we don't have to worry about spending time doing. So.
Yeah, when you already live there, skipped that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, we've cheated the system a little bit.
Yeah, we're trying to make our home more studio-like.
Exactly, yeah.
Alex, were you going to say something?
I don't live here anymore. I did used to live here, though.
We still got a decent amount of your stuff here.
I have, yeah, one or two things that are left over.
I can't believe that we can get away with it because we do have neighbors and they can definitely hear us. But our landlord is this like slumlord who's completely checked out. And so like I think when people complain about like us being a recording rock band in the building, the landlord just completely ignores them. Mm-hmm. And then they move out 1 year later and we've been here for 10 years and had like...
Okay, but one time we were playing and we got a note and... You were all stressed and you run to the door and then we read the note and it was like, we like the music.
We got some, our neighbor slipped like a note under the door being like, that was like an appreciation letter, which was, did evoke some panic. So I was like, oh no, this is it. This round of neighbors is now starting to complain. And so that was like, when we started busting out some new material too. So you can, I feel like that's a good sign that we're moving in the right direction is instead of getting complaints, we're getting, admiration. That was a first. Like, that's our hit ratio, and that's pretty low, I would say.
Yeah.
I also feel like that's probably, like, the first for any band ever to, like, the neighbors don't complain. They, like, compliment you for
playing. Yeah, they, like, ask if we're on Spotify and stuff.
Yeah.
Which we are, at The Painters.
Yeah, go to our Bandcamp if you want. Share it with your friends.
Yeah, hit us up on Linktree.
I guess one last thing that I'll ask, because it's kind of come up in terms of, you know, bands struggling to find spaces to play, lugging around their things. You have your own space, but also the show that you played recently, like just in a random house. How do you feel like the landscape's been sort of changing in terms of the venues that you play? Is there a need to play quieter these days, or like, what's it like?
We haven't played live that much. In the history of this project, there's probably only been like I don't know, if I had to guess, like 6 or 7 shows, like ever. Maybe
no.
Like...
No, more than that.
Like 10?
10, less than 20. 15.
What?
Less than 20.
Okay. Well, still, for a band that's been around for like that many years, we definitely don't have an average of more than like 1 or 2 shows a year.
Okay.
And we've definitely been recording a lot, and now I think we're all excited to play a lot more. But it's a lot of venues have come and gone since we've been here, especially all the DIY spots. Like, and I'm sure there's going to be more popping up.
When you look at Canada, though, like Montreal's not so bad. Like, if you think about the rest of the country, there's still, I don't know, there's like somewhere between 5 and 10 rockable venues in the city that will accommodate smaller bands. But okay, it's thinned out. We lost Diving Bell not too long ago.
One thing that I have noticed change quite dramatically is the DIY zones. And that's where, whether it was Drones Club or La Plante, like we would go quite regularly and see smaller bands, go to shows that were put on by musicians without promoters. And so that is a real concern for me, because those were really formative experiences when I was in my early 20s, not just seeing bands that I liked and admired, but sort of getting to know older musicians who were willing to give us advice about what we should do and how we should go about putting on shows and touring and all of like the kind of nitty gritty stuff that isn't quite as obvious. It feels like there's a moment right now where that's sort of lacking. So I think, hopefully some really cheap abandoned warehouse spaces will get leased by 22-year-olds who play music, because that was... it went a long way for all of us.
Okay. I feel like this is a good point to wrap up. And I want to say thank you to you guys for answering all my questions and making the time here today, inviting me into your little womb with a view.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ari.
Thank you.
This has been The Painters here on Past Tense. And thanks again.